And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is new things. Each of my guests will be giving us information or a new way of looking at an old subject. My next guest is a former disc jockey and music historian. He answers some of life's most perplexing questions about music. He'll provide a fascinating look at TV theme songs over the years from information that he's gathered on his website, songfacts.com. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Carl Weiser is a former DJ from Hartford's WHCN. He is the creator of songfacts.com, a database of over 16,000 songs, a popular resource for radio shows nationwide. It was written up in the Chicago Tribune, USA Weekend Edition, and the Men's Journal. SongFacts is a website devoted to song information, including the history and meaning of the songs. The site was organized in a database that each song gets its own entry. Originally used as a resource for DJs, the site gained widespread recognition when Yahoo chose it as a pick way back in 2002. SongFacts also conducts interviews with songwriters and musicians, which are available in their entirety and used as content for the database. Welcome to the show, Carl. How are you today?
Hey, very good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being my guest. I appreciate it. Theme songs are always such fun when we're thinking about TV, because there isn't a person in the listening audience who doesn't watch TV at some point or another. But something that I've noticed with the most recent crop of TV soundtracks, if you will, is that theme songs themselves have sort of been on the wane since really the 1980s. Why do you think that theme songs are kind of going out in favor of just general music playing into a TV show?
Well, you know how there's all those buttons on your remote control now, and you can make the TV go fast or slow and rewind, whatever you need it to do?
Yes.
Well, that's part of the reason why the theme songs have gone away. Back when we had three channels and you had to get up to change the station, it was kind of a comforting thing to hear 45 seconds of a theme song with an intro to show you the characters. You couldn't imagine a TV show without it. It would be kind of jarring just to all of a sudden see some dialogue or something into the show. But as things sped up, the networks decided, hey, we can't be showing a commercial between shows anymore, and we don't have 45 seconds to spare at the beginning of the show to waste all this time that we could be spending on content and plot development. So they started wiping out the theme songs, because where else are you going to find that 45 seconds? So really, the big show that did it was Seinfeld. Do you remember Seinfeld and their theme song?
Sure. Just the bass. I don't want to do it because I'll butcher it, but yes, I do.
Yeah, it was like a couple bass notes, doo-doo-doo, something like that. And when that became very successful, everybody jumped on that bandwagon, and it was pretty much the death of the TV theme song.
As we know it, that's true. But they were big back in the 70s, back in the 80s, and even to a certain extent in the 90s. We've had the good fortune of having Charles Fox as a guest on the show. He wrote many, many theme songs to famous TV shows back in the 70s, and he wrote the theme songs for three in particular that are featured in songfacts.com database, The Love Boat, Laverne and Shirley, and Love American Style. He co-wrote that with Paul Williams. So talk to me a little bit about the themes from the 70s. The Love Boat, let's start there. I mean, we've also had the author of the book, The Love Boat's on, and she talked about the originations of that TV show itself. But the Love Boat theme is one that just about every one of my listeners can dredge up and mention, and it's a great theme. But there's more to it than just that, isn't there, Carl?
Yeah, that one was really funny, and written by two of the great songwriters of all time, Charles Fox, who also wrote Killing Me Softly with his song, and Paul Williams, who also wrote Evergreen, that big Barbra Streisand song, and he also wrote Rainbow Connection for the Muppets. So you got two amazing minds teaming up to write this song about a cruise ship. Now, what an assignment that is. Hey, we've got this show called Love Boat, and we need you to write a theme song for it. It's about this cruise ship. And, you know, come on, that's a silly thing. And Paul Williams is trying to write the lyrics to this song, and he told us that he's sitting there tearing up his brain thinking, what am I going to do? I mean, come on, you know, boat, ship, girls, because he had that big note that Charles Fox wrote for him, that bomb, which turned out to be love. But he didn't want to write love, because he had started the song Evergreen with love, soft as an easy chair, but so he just didn't want to do it. But it was one of those things that, all right, I got to do it. What else am I going to do? Love, exciting and new. And it turned out to be this big hit, not only the song, but the TV show, which both Charles and Paul thought was going to last about 6 weeks.
Isn't that funny how history turns out? And it's interesting, too, and we'll come back to this later a little bit with you, Carl, that a lot of TV theme songs make their way onto the pop music charts as well. So we'll visit that in just a minute. But The Love Boat, great opening, great theme song, can sing it to this day. Laverne and Shirley is another one that Charles Fox wrote. And interestingly enough, the lyrics that we hear on Laverne and Shirley today when we watch the television show aren't the lyrics as they were originally written, were they?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because when Charles Fox wrote that song with his partner Norman Gimbel, he wrote it as hoping our dreams come true. Now, you know, the Laverne and Shirley song is where they're kind of marching along, and of course they're making our dreams, we're going to do it, and it's very kind of uplifting. But as they wrote it, hoping our dreams come true, the writers rejected because they said, no, these are a couple strong, independent women. Now, this is the 70s, so this is kind of a big deal. These girls, they go out and they make things happen. So Charles had to go rewrite the whole thing and make it a very definitive making our dreams come true for Laverne and Shirley.
That's great. We're talking to Carl Weiser, who is the creator and owner of the website songfacts.com. And we're talking about TV themes today. Another, keeping in the Charles Fox genre, another theme song that he wrote, Love American Style. That was also very popular. There's a story behind that, isn't there, Carl?
Well, Love American Style was kind of the launching pad for all these other shows. It's like this in life, I guess. If you have one really big success, sometimes that just spins off into a whole career for you. And that's kind of what happened to Charles Fox. This is a guy who studied in France with one of the premier composition teachers in the world, Nadia Boulanger, I think was her name.
That's correct.
And he ended up doing TV theme songs, partly because he did Love American Style, which was kind of this episodic show where different things would happen every 15 minutes on the show, completely different plots and casts. And that's what ended up becoming Love Boat and even Happy Days. Happy Days was an episode of Love American Style. It was an episode titled something like Love and the Happy Days. And from there, Charles just got all this work writing all these successful show theme songs.
It's amazing the history behind the songs. And we're talking to the man who knows them all. Carl Weiser is our guest. Carl, I want to talk about something that's coming up, a guest of ours that's coming up on the 26th. We're going to have Mike Farrell, who played B.J. Honeycutt on the TV show MASH, as my special guest on the 26th. So talk to us about the theme song from MASH, the TV show, and why were the words eliminated from the TV show theme that were originally in the movie theme?
Because they were way too dark. Now, the theme song, you know the title of that one, Bill?
Suicide is Painless.
Yeah, Suicide is Painless. Not exactly the thing you want coming out of your TV on prime time to a mainstream audience. I mean, MASH is a dark enough show as it is. It's set during wartime, and it's a hospital. It's very dark just on the basis of it, but they made it very funny. It was a very watchable show. But another thing that's really interesting about MASH is that's one of the very rare TV shows that was a successful show based on a movie. Usually it's a disaster when you take a movie and you turn it into a TV show. But MASH did very well, and in the movie version, you hear all the words to Suicide is Painless. But in the TV version, you just hear the instrumental theme, which on its own is still quite haunting.
It is, and they try to make it a little bit less haunting at the end by making it go up in pitch at the end. But I'm not sure if those of us who know the words to Suicide is Painless really, really buy into that. We're talking to Carl Weiser, who is the owner of songfacts.com. Carl, I mentioned it earlier when we were talking about TV themes that make their way onto the pop charts. There are a couple that come to mind from the 70s and the 80s that made their way onto the chart. And one of them, it was from an old-time, long-time folk rocker, John Sebastian. It's the theme to Welcome Back, Cotter. What's the history there?
Isn't that amazing? The Welcome Back, Cotter theme, the show that really gave John Travolta his start, was a number one hit back in the 70s. So here's this song from this kind of this crazy show featuring the Sweat Hogs based around Gabe Kaplan, and it just caught on because the song was written specifically for the show. It's about this teacher that goes back to his old high school, so it's Welcome Back. But it just had that universal appeal. I mean, who can't relate to just going back to where you came from and where you got your start and kind of finding everything is different but still feeling that sense of comfort?
Without a doubt. And that covers the decade of the 70s. Moving into the decade of the 80s, there was a theme song that made it onto the pop charts as well, and that was the theme from Miami Vice.
To the best of my knowledge, the Miami Vice theme is the only TV theme of the 80s to ever hit number one on the charts. Now, it's kind of amazing if you think about it, because you never hear the song anymore. It certainly had a very short shelf life, but for a week or so, it was the most popular song in America, and Miami Vice was probably the biggest thing in American culture. People were dressing like them, talking like them. Everybody was watching that show. It was a really big deal.
Without a doubt. And if you want to take people's memory back to the 1980s, all you need to do is play the first few bars of Miami Vice, and it gets them right in the mood for the leisure suits and the pastels and the no socks and the whole thing that we did in the 1980s. Well, moving up to the 1990s, there was one that didn't quite make it to number one. However, it did help put the show on the map, and that's the theme song from Friends.
Oh, that was really interesting. And I remember I went and tracked down the woman who wrote that song. And the reason why is because she wrote a whole bunch of songs with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now, I'm a big Earth, Wind, and Fire 70s soul music guy, and I also knew that she wrote this Friends theme, and I thought it was really weird that this woman that has written all these really soulful cuts wrote this really, Friends is not in the same category with Earth, Wind, and Fire, let's put it that way.
All right.
But she said there's this big convoluted story behind it, and she just kind of banged it out because she was under contract with a Warner Brothers publishing company, so cranked out this thing pretty quick, and she knew she couldn't use the word Friends in the theme song, so she's, I'll be there for you. That'll work. And a group called the Rembrandts ended up recording the song only because there was no other Warner Brothers artist available, and it was all in the family, the show, the publishing company, the record label, all owned by the same place. And then when the song became hugely popular on the TV show, disc jockeys started looping it and playing it, and then they needed a full-length version. The Rembrandts wouldn't do it because they didn't like it. So they ended up getting a whole bunch of money and a songwriter credit on the song to add a few more verses and make it into about a 3-minute song that could be played on the radio. But this was kind of an afterthought song that ended up becoming wildly popular.
Without a doubt. Now, do you know what instrument Courtney Cox plays and played it in the music video of the theme from Friends?
I'm guessing hand claps.
No, it wasn't. She's actually quite an accomplished drummer, and she played on the music video. She didn't play it on the actual recording, but on the music video she did. We're talking to Carl Weiser, who's the CEO and the owner of SongFacts.com, a website all about music and the backstory on music. Carl, another little-known fact about another NBC sitcom. There was a sitcom on NBC that was almost canceled, surprisingly enough, went on to become one of their very biggest sitcoms of all time back in the 80s. And it was the theme song to that sitcom that actually saved it. Which one was that?
Oh, I think you're thinking about Cheers.
Yes.
Yeah, Cheers was almost canceled. It's hard to believe now, but back when it came out, its first season, nobody watched the show. I mean, it was in the cellar of the ratings, and NBC had to make a call. Are we going to stick with it, or are we just going to cut bait on this one? But part of the reason they stuck with the show is because the theme song proved very, very popular. People were calling up the network and writing to them saying, how can I get this song? It's really amazing, because here's another one of these classic songs that, yes, is about a bar and written specifically about the characters in the show, but relates to just about anyone. I mean, who doesn't want to go somewhere where everybody knows your name? And that really kind of put it over the top in terms of let's give the show another chance. In its second season, the show really took off.
It did, and became one of NBC's most enduring sitcoms of all time. Now, Carl, baby boomers are the main listeners to my show here, the people ages 35 to 54. And as boomers, we can relate to the rock and roll eras growing up in the 1960s and the 70s. And TV is just capitalizing on the fact that we know and recognize all of that music, and they incorporate it into the theme songs of some of the different TV shows. And I'm going to start with The Wonder Years. How do they take a rock song and weave that into the theme?
Well, The Wonder Years used a Beatles song, but they didn't use the Beatles version of the song. They were able to use the Joe Cocker version of A Little Help from My Friends. Now, there's a song from the era, and a song that you know right away. So when Wonder Years pops on your TV, you start hearing Joe Cocker sing, And, I mean, come on, you're going to turn the channel from that? It's really a wonderful rendition of the song and a great alternative when you can't get the Beatles, which has happened before, by the way. If you want the rights to a Beatles song, it's very, very hard to get the Beatles actually singing it. And there was even another TV show that did the same thing. Do you know the other TV show that used a song from the Beatles that wasn't sung by them?
I do. It was Grace Under Fire, Lady Madonna.
Yeah, they used Aretha Franklin's version.
Yeah.
So if you got your heart set on a Beatles song, you might be able to get it, but you're going to have somebody else sing it. But The Wonder Years was just a tremendous piece of nostalgia that had the perfect theme song to go with it.
Without a doubt. And you just ask Steve Jobs about how hard it is to get the Beatles songs. He'll be one to tell you. No doubt about it. All right, Billy Joel crops up in the opening credits for Bosom Buddies. What song did they use for Bosom Buddies?
Bosom Buddies used the song My Life by Billy Joel. Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone. And that was Tom Hanks' real starring role, his first big appearance.
His breakout.
Yeah, you know, before he was starring in all these movies, you'd be, hey, isn't that the guy that used to dress like a woman in that TV show? It sounds ludicrous now to think about it, but Tom Hanks used to be in the show that was about two guys that dressed up as women so they could get low rent.
It's amazing. That was his breakout role. Now, Billy Joel plays an instrumental part in my theme song, the opening credits to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Little trivia. Anybody wants to call in at 639-0008, I will have either a free sandwich or a free salad at Urbane Cafe. If you can tell me which Billy Joel song is used in the opening of Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And here's just a little cut of it.
Business. The boss that works for you.
Entertainment.
Wait for it.
Sports.
It's there.
And the local community.
Here we go.
Keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for Brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
The piano and the orchestration that you hear in the background is, in fact, Billy Joel, keeping with the theme Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Anybody calls in 639-0008 can tell me what piece of music that is by Billy Joel. They get a free sandwich or a free salad from Urbane Cafe. All right, Carl, back to you. We're talking to Carl Weiser, the CEO of SongFacts.com. Other songs that were used on TV themes. Here's one that really turned into a franchise. The Who singing Who Are You? What's the franchise that's associated with on TV?
Oh, well, that's CSI. And how about that? The Who, didn't they have an album way back in the day called The Who Sell Out?
Yes.
And boy, they sold out big time. After a while, they said, you know what? We've earned it. Let's just let our songs be used by whoever wants to use them and has the pockets to pay us all this money. And so they let the CSI franchise use some of their songs. I think there are three different CSIs that use three different Who songs. And it's really incredible how well they stand up. In many cases, you have to change the old songs to make them more contemporary. But the Who songs really stand on their own. The stuff they were doing in the 60s and 70s, when that blasts out of your TV these days, it still sounds very powerful.
Absolutely does. Speaking of selling out, the Rolling Stones sold out. They used their song Paint It Black in a TV series. Which TV series was that, Carl?
Paint It Black was used in an old show called Tour of Duty. I say old. I think it was like 1989. But it was a very good show about the Vietnam War, a very gritty type of show. And it lasted about three seasons on CBS, but Paint It Black was a very effective theme song for that show.
Absolutely it was. We've been talking to Carl Weiser, the CEO and owner of the website songfacts.com. Absolutely a wealth of knowledge about music and how it relates into our modern culture as well. Carl, if people really want to learn more, obviously the website speaks for itself, but where would you direct them to go on the internet?
I would have them check out some of the interviews that we've done with some of these songwriters. They're really incredible. You know, you're talking about, like, new things. We talked to this woman who had this Apple hit, New Soul. You know, Steve Jobs looks for songs.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, a song, New Soul, by this Israeli artist nobody had ever heard of, shows up in an Apple ad, and she becomes the first Israeli artist to have an American top 10 hit. But she didn't release another album until just now, almost 3 years later. And we just got to talk to her and find out why. So stories like that are in the interviews and all over the database. It's really some fun stuff if you got a few minutes.
Well, it's stories like that and the trivia that you have up on songfacts.com that make it interesting. We've been talking to Carl Weiser, everybody. Carl, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure, Billy. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon. And remember, if you missed all or part of my interview with Carl Weiser or any of the guests that I've had over time, whether it's Dan Rather, Steve Forbes, any of my guests, I archive all of my interviews up on my website, brainstorminonline.com. That's brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. We're going to go out with the Friends theme.
This is The Coast. Now, the following program is the property of my company, CRT Broadcast. I'm responsible for all the silly things I say, not the responsible.